From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made in a high school auditorium where a student is reading an essay about his hero. The person who inspires him is a fellow student named JJ, who has cerebral palsy. All goes according to plan until JJ finds out that his classmate has written this essay about him and is in line to win a prize for it. The problem? The author of the piece isn't really friends with JJ. He doesn't know much about him. JJ realizes the student is just using him as an object of inspiration. He chooses JJ as his hero to make himself and others feel good. JJ calls this, quote-unquote, inspiration porn. Now, this is actually a scene from a show called Speechless on ABC. It's a smart comedy that has a lot to say about living with a disability, and the inspiration porn episode is getting a lot of positive feedback, especially among people with disabilities, who say they're glad the phrase inspiration porn is in the spotlight and is acknowledged as a problem. This hour, we'll examine why the concept, although well-intended, is more complicated than it may seem, and we'll talk about what real inclusivity means. This is a follow-up conversation to last week's Dialogue on Disability, and it's part of WXXI's Inclusion Desk, spotlighting issues related to disabilities. The WXXI Inclusion Desk is part of Move to Include, a partnership to include thoughtful discussion about issues of inclusion and the differently abled. I'd like to welcome my guests for the hour. Brendan O'Riordan is the communications officer for the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, and he was born with cerebral palsy. Brendan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Dresden Engel is a PR professional, actress, and mother of two daughters. Dresden, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Megan.
Cynthia Kerber-Gowan is a faculty member in the School of Education at Nazareth College and the faculty liaison for the Life Prep at NAS program. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thankful. Thank you.
And Bob Eich is the superintendent of Palmyra-Macedon School District. Bob, thanks for being on the line with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, the phrase inspiration porn, again, is admittedly jarring and crude. And I know, Dresden, you had an immediate reaction to it.
I had never heard it before until you mentioned it to me last week.
I had never heard it until watching the Speechless show, but I know our other panelists have heard of it. And, you know, preparing for the show, I've done a lot of research and I've realized that it's a pretty common term. And I'd just like to get your initial reactions to the term itself. What do you think about that phrase? Go ahead, Dresden. You seem to have the strongest opinion.
I've only learned about it. I've just started reading up on it. And I think I have the least experience explaining it. But, Cindy, you have had a lot of experience hearing this word, hashtag, dear on a college campus.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting term. I'm not sure I like the term all that much. But I think it has a lot to do with challenging notions of inclusion in the community. I think that for a really long time, people with disabilities were seen as outside of, and now that people are coming to realize that people with disabilities are human beings who are capable of the same things that you or I are capable of, that they have kind of taken them and made them their sort of heroes, that sort of inspiration kind of thing, and that doesn't do them a service. It's not seeing them as people. And so, I think it's an interesting. I think it's a sign of a increasingly diverse view of inclusion in the community. But we still have a ways to go.
Mm-hmm. And I've been very fortunate just to have opportunities throughout the course of growing up just to be able to be included in almost anything and everything that everybody else has been able to do. So, my perspective has been able to be able to be there and do everything that every other kid has done and never really had a label or looked upon negatively. So it's been a very positive experience for me growing up as a kid and kind of growing up the ladder as to where I am today.
Bob, is this a term you've heard before?
This is a term I had never heard prior to starting this show a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you said that because for those in the community, myself included, who hadn't heard it before, we're going to play a clip from the show Speechless. And in the clip, you'll hear Ray DeMeo asking his brother JJ, who again has cerebral palsy, how he feels about being called a classmate's hero. And JJ communicates through an aide named Kenneth. So this is Speechless.
Hey, are you friends with a Donald Bronson?
Who?
That's what I thought. He gave a whole speech about how you're his hero. He said you're the bravest guy he knows, you make him a better person.
Now I'm someone else's speech? Stupid INS inspiration porn? What's that?
It's a portrayal of people with disabilities as one-dimensional saints who only exist to warm the hearts and open the minds of able-bodied people.
I blame Tiny Tim.
It's terrible, but it's great for winning essay contests, damn it. I'm over here trying to sell Albert Einstein.
Hey, it's not Donald's fault you picked Einstein. Come on, man, play to win. Let's talk to Donald. Sounds good.
Einstein is my hero. He was a lowly patent clerk.
Come on, dude.
That's speechless, and it's a sitcom. It has a lot to say about living with disabilities. I think it's actually a really great show. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to check it out. But so let's go around the table. What are your reactions to that clip?
None of them were good actors. I'm sorry.
Coming from the actress, a little commentary.
So I have a daughter. I have a 10-year-old daughter with cerebral palsy. And she has both cognitive and motor deficits. So she behaves differently than most children. And she has to work a lot harder than everybody else to do anything that she does, whether it's running across the gymnasium or taking a test. So when people do kind of idolize her for something she did, she loves it. So I'm sure there's a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm. Brendan, what do you think?
Well, I just, you know, drawing from personal experiences, we were just talking off air, you know, my fiance works in a school with children with disabilities. So she works with young children, preschool children. And in my opinion, it takes a special kind of person really to be able to do that job. And you really have to be able to interact with children who have certain levels of cognitive abilities, some greater than others, some lesser than others. And she really has a fantastic way of being able to interact and see the good in what children are able to offer. And I think it's just a great opportunity for her to be able to, you know, give her resources to these children, because that's really their first step to branching out into bigger and better things, hopefully, as they become older.
Mm-hmm. I hear that particular scene, and I've seen the show previously, I haven't seen that particular episode. What strikes me is that's different about that show, and what I think is really important and gets sort of at the heart of Inspiration Porn, is the notion that people have their own voices. And so that particular kid, that's his voice. That's how he feels about that topic. And of course, Dresden, your daughter might feel differently. But the notion that they aren't one-dimensional people, that people are people and that we have voices and we should go to the source and ask them, as opposed to let, you know, their mom hold them up on a pedestal, which we all do as parents, or, you know, some person seeing them walk down the street and be like, wow, look at that person go. It's belittling in a lot of ways. And so while absolutely commending a kid to working hard against challenges that they have that are indeed more than perhaps their same age peers is wonderful, but at the same time, not belittling that into being just their only dimension, right? That's all they're about. That they also, you know, like pop stars or do bad things. You know, my son with a disability is one of the kids that I always think about when we talk about this kind of stuff. When he was really little, and at school, he would do something naughty. And people would be like, well, you know, he has a disability. And I'm like, well, that's just being naughty, though. You know, that just because he has a disability, that not everything he does is the autism, that some of the things that he does is because he's himself. And so I liked that in that particular scene that he was able, as a growing kid, to say, hey, that's not cool. This is who I am, and you should ask me first.
Mm-hmm. You know, from a school perspective, I think that point of being an individual is critical, because we can oftentimes we are on the spectrums of groupthink and lumping everything together and going to the individual. And I think that we need to be aware of that in terms of our inclusive practices, that inclusion does not mean the same thing for every child, and that we need to consider individual differences when we're thinking about those practices, and each of those, each child has their own abilities, and we need to consider that when we're thinking about kids as humans.
Listeners, we want to hear from you as well. You can join this conversation by calling 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, you can call 263-WXXI. That's 263-9994. You can also email the program at connections@wxxi.org. And I've posted the clip from Speechless on my Twitter feed if you'd like to watch it again or communicate to the show through Twitter. You can find me at mmacmedia. Now, I think one of the big issues surrounding inspiration porn is the motivation behind why people use it. And I was watching a TED Talk last night with Stella Young, who was a disability rights activist. She unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But she was saying that when she was 15, people in her community wanted to nominate her for a community achievement award. And her parents said, well, she hasn't achieved anything. And people in the community said, well, she's overcoming these barriers and she's so strong and she's capable. And her parents said she sits and watches TV after school. So there was this difference of opinion. And it leads to the question, why do people, do they want to do these things to make themselves feel better? And I think that's what a lot of the show was about, the Speechless episode. So do you see motivation as an issue?
I think so. I think that we're often motivated to feel better about ourselves. And seeing someone else overcome something makes us feel like, hey, you know, maybe I could do something better. Maybe I could be better, too. I think that that is a feel-good kind of moment for a lot of us. I also think that we all know someone or are touched by someone, and so we feel that sort of community sense. But, you know, in my own work, one of the things that we struggle with and we work really hard for is to move past that. So the initial reaction of, this is inspirational, I really want to work with your students, to really go further to do the hard work of establishing meaningful relationships. And that's the part that's more difficult. And so if you're going online and you're spending, 5 minutes looking at something and going, oh, wow, that feels great, that's not the same work that going out and establishing a meaningful relationship with someone would do. And I think that's the hard work that we need to push past to get to.
Mm-hmm. Dresden, I sort of saw you shaking your head when we were talking about motivations. What do you think?
I was thinking of something that Cindy had told me earlier, that at Nazareth, she is the advisor for an organization called Best Buddies. And I know their TIES programs, TIES, it's an acronym, and where the buddies help children. So in Webster Schools, where my daughter goes, there are high school students who come and are with her so she can get through her rehearsal for a musical she's doing right now. So I guess I'm just a little torn of if it makes those college students and the high school students feel good, at least they're doing it. And at least my daughter gets to benefit from them doing that.
It is, but we, with the students at Nazareth, a lot of them are young, recent high school graduates. I push them really hard to hopefully think beyond, this makes me feel good for doing this for someone who other people might ignore, to really see the value in the person that they're interacting with. So with Best Buddies, it's similar to TIES, but it's establishing a long-term friendship connection when possible between individuals. And I think it's wonderful, but I think that we have to push those boundaries. We have to push them past seeing that as community service and moving that into, well, this is my friend. This is someone that I call and hang out with because I choose to, not because I do it to make myself feel better, which is a different level. And I think it sometimes takes that first step, which is I'm doing it because it feels good, but I think that evening out that hierarchy and establishing that long-term relationship changes that.
Actually,
and I think that's the important
part.
Can you just, that
hierarchy notion, you mentioned that earlier to me. That explained a lot to me.
Yeah, so when you're volunteering, typically there's a social hierarchy. So if I'm volunteering with an organization like Best Buddies and I don't come in at the same level. I'm Italian. I talk with my hands. This is hard. I don't come.
It's radio. It's okay.
I don't. It's hard, though. You don't come in at the same level as that student that you're volunteering with. Yeah, there's a hierarchy where you might see yourself as better or higher or more capable because that's the name. In fact, some people in our school, you know, like talked about even the word buddy, and that's not something we use anymore, but it's a really old organization. It's been around forever, so it's traditional language. But that hierarchy is there, and it sometimes doesn't, we don't move past it. And if you don't move past it, if people aren't on an even playing field, then real relationships aren't being built. And that's that. If you're consistently looking at inspiration porn, you're never getting past that. You're always looking at yourself as better, and you're never moving into that even keel with people.
Mm-hmm. I really like what you said in terms of, you know, certain programs that I know from my personal experiences. Growing up as a kid and loving the sport of baseball and having played it as a kid up until probably third grade or 8 years old, and then not playing for a couple of years because my parents were concerned about whether or not I'd get hit by a 60-mile-an-hour fastball and if I'd fall down and get hurt and not be able to get up like every other kid and brush themselves off because I don't have the physical abilities as some other people do. But then my father, God love him, got the idea of bringing a baseball league to the Rochester area for children with disabilities. And it's ballooned into a big, huge thing that a lot of people in the community know about, Challenger Baseball. And, you know, thankfully he was able to do that for me. And, you know, as you indicated, a program that's been around for a long time, there are quote unquote buddies that are brought into that program. And maybe sometimes, and belittle anyone that takes part in the program because they're all wonderful people and I really appreciate everything that they do to try and help out and to volunteer. But, and I'm not singling out any one individual. You may have somebody who said, hey, can you help me out here on a Saturday? It's only going to take you a couple hours. You'll be done. Don't worry about it. You might have fun. You might not have fun. And I don't think that was the case in any instance, really. But I like what you said in terms of having people being there, realizing what they're getting into, realizing the impact they're having on an individual that they're helping, they're being their quote-unquote buddy, and going beyond that and developing friendships. And I've seen that time and time again as a kid and now as an adult with some of the things that I've been able to do through my job where people that I work with volunteer to help children with disabilities. And I think that's motivation right there.
It's so funny that that you mentioned Challenger Baseball because my parents were actually, they brought the first Challenger Baseball League in New York State to the community where I grew up. And that's sort of where I started volunteering as a kid. That wasn't my first sort of step into knowing people with disabilities. That had come much earlier. But that was that's one of those things that now when I look at that organization, the reason that my father started that was because they wouldn't let a little boy with Down syndrome on the field with my son's baseball team. And he was like, well, I'll show them. But now when we look at that, you know, really making sure that those connections are real, that it's not just that piece, I think is so important. And those organizations do, I think, work hard at that.
You know, in high schools, we typically have kind of that opportunity or the expectation that kids do community service, and I think that that's sometimes natural to say I'm going to do something to gather the points or to help out. But in our TIES program at Palmyra-Maston, it's really incumbent on our adult mentor to help kids get beyond that and really forge those relationships that were being talked about. You know, I think there's two dimensions. There's the dimension of the younger student with an older student that kind of creates the I'm looking up to you different where you wouldn't be friends. And then there's the peer-to-peer age, potentially similar age relationships that we try to develop where it truly does become a friendship or an opportunity for kids to be together where typically a student with a significant developmental disability might spend most of their time with their parent. This is an opportunity to be together as peers and really develop those friendships.
Bob, can you tell us a little more about the TIES program in case people aren't familiar?
Sure, TIES, Together Including Every Student, is an incredibly active program at Pelmac where we have 42 students and participants a range in age from, I'd say, 8 years to 21, where students volunteer to work together to create partnerships, as Dresden mentioned, maybe providing support and access to a musical rehearsal or an opportunity to be in a musical, or simply to just go kayaking, to hang out, to attend a dance. It's opportunities in many cases to do engage in an activity that peers do on any given day as a high school student or a middle school student.
Because there comes a point where you don't want mom and dad to take you everywhere. So there comes a point where you're there with peers at a school function, and it gives them the empowerment they need.
That sense of independence. I remember a story that came out, I think it was in the summer of last year, a video went viral of a group of fifth graders in Minnesota who sort of took a fellow student with a learning disability under their wing. He was getting bullied a lot, and they said, this isn't okay. And instead of just helping him out in that one situation, they became one of his best friends. They go to his house, they play video games, they pooled all their allowance money and bought him new video games, and now they hang out all the time. So that human connection, that interpersonal relationship is so important. And I think that's one thing that the Speechless episode didn't touch on, and I wish it would have, because there are other episodes of the show and examples in life where you see those great things happening, and maybe sometimes they're not highlighted as much as they should be.
I told Cindy I was probably going to cry, but I'm amazed now that most of the classrooms do a co-teach situation where all the children, the special education students are mixed in with gen ed students. And that has done leaps and bounds for my daughter, but just the compassion that I have seen other students extend. Okay, I'm going to cry.
I think that's a piece that that we're really proud of it. At Nazareth, we have a commitment to service learning. And the program that I work for, Life Prep, provides an opportunity for kids to have a college experience that might not otherwise have one. And for us, that piece is so important, not just for those students, where it's an opportunity for those students, but it's an opportunity for our students as well to really develop meaningful relationships and see the value in other people that they might not have had the same level of experience with before. For us, it's a transition program, so we're preparing our students to be included in the community and in the workplace. But I see that work as so much more, because it's important that we prepare a community who will welcome them, and not just welcome them because it's good, it's a good feeling, but to help them more fully understand the value of and the abilities of those people that you're like your daughter, who have worth and have value, not just because there's something to be like, oh, look at me, I'm befriending the little girl with the disability. Right. Like, she actually has stuff that she can do and give to a relationship and to a workplace.
She's in fifth grade, and last year when she was in fourth grade, her teacher had a daughter with a disability. So I respected so much when she said, you know what I do? I go into the classroom at the beginning of the year and I explain, this is why my daughter's different. And so I've done that twice now. And then I did it for the kids on the bus. And at first it was like, it goes against everything we think. I'm going to define why she's different. But I even brought an MRI scan to show, what happened to birth and why she has cerebral palsy and what that means. And that it just changed so much. They just want to understand why she was different and why she might yell out and why she might actually hurt them. And if no one was explaining why she was different, then they couldn't embrace her. So I recommend to any other parent to do that, because at first I was startled by it, but it ended up being the best thing I ever could have done for her.
I think it's helpful for them to take that over, too. So my son does that for himself. The kids on my campus do that for themselves. I think it's important to take that extra step, which, again, is taking that inspiration porn and moving deeper. It's not just sitting at the surface and everybody all holding hands and feeling good. It's about doing the real work, which is identifying places where there are challenges and then finding the value within those challenges.
We're going to take our only break of the hour, but I see the phone starting to ring. So when we come back, we'll talk to Sam and Erica. Just hang on the line for us. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can also email the program at connections@wxxi.org. Short break and more of this conversation next. Coming up in our second hour, we're talking about art. and how it can be used as a tool to promote social change. From visual and performance art to literature, photography, and comedy, we'll talk about how artists formulate and communicate social and political messages and why those messages are important. And we want to hear from you. What speaks to you? Art with a Meaning, coming up in our second hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. We're discussing what real inclusion means for people with disabilities. And the spark for this discussion was a recent episode of the sitcom Speechless on ABC. It's a show about a family whose oldest child has cerebral palsy and how they deal with the challenges that they face in everyday life. Now, it's a comedy, but it's taking on some really sensitive and tough subjects. It has a lot to say. And the most one of the most recent episodes was about what's called inspiration porn, where people with disabilities are presented as objects of inspiration. So we're delving into some of those issues today. And I'd like to reintroduce our guest. Brendan O'Riordan is the communications officer for the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, and he was born with cerebral palsy. Dresden Engel is a PR professional, actress, and mother. Cynthia Kerber-Gowan is a faculty member in the School of Education at Nazareth College and the faculty liaison for the Life Prep at NAS program. And on the phone with us is Bob Ike, superintendent of the Palmyra-Macedon School District. I'd like to get right to the phones. It's starting, they are all starting to ring. First up is Erica in Rochester. Hi, Erica.
Hi there.
Do you have a question or comment?
I just had a question. This is a really great conversation. This is really important to talk about because I am a disabled woman living in the city of Rochester. So my question is, why wouldn't this be a conversation with the disability community?
Why, we have members of the disability community on the panel. I'm not quite sure I understand what you're asking.
Well, I understand that there's one person on the panel from the disability community, and then there's a parent, and then someone who works in a school.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm confused why there isn't more disabled people having the conversation.
That's a good point. Well, while we have you on the phone, let's talk to some of these points with you. What is your reaction to hearing the phrase inspiration porn?
Well, in my personal life, I hear it all the time. It's very frustrating. I'll be getting out of my car and loading my wheelchair, and I'll hear, it's really great to have you in the community. It's really great to see you out. I'm out in the community every day. So that's not really a comment to say to someone. But I appreciate the fact of Shum mentioning Speechless, because that's a really great show. It shows, you know, what some of the issues are that we deal with every day, and actually has a disabled person in the lead, which is amazing. But as far as inspiration porn itself, I feel like people are trying to be helpful. I think they think that they are saying something really, really great, but what they're really doing is patting themselves in the back for speaking to a disabled person today.
Erica, what do you do when people do say things like, it's great to see you out in the community? How do you respond, or how can you help them understand what would help you more in terms of just having a regular conversation with someone?
Honestly, it just depends on the day and the mood of the day. I try really hard not to be sarcastic or nasty. Like, some may respond, but it gets really tiring to have to explain every single day that this isn't appropriate. You wouldn't approach somebody in the street who is just walking around doing a little shopping and say, hey, it's great to see you out today, if you don't know them.
Right.
So why would you do that to someone who's blind or deaf or in a wheelchair?
What do you wish people would know that Dresden wrote a great blog post, and Dresden, you can tell our listeners where to find it, about what you wish other people would know about being a parent of a child with a disability. Erica, what do you wish people would know that maybe they have misconceptions about or they could understand better?
I kind of wish people would stop with the different labels. Most accepted is person with a disability or a disabled person. We're not differently abled. We're not handicapable, disabled, all these different words that people are coming up with now because they want to be gentle and try to make it seem like this person is not unable to do something. They want to focus on their ability. Well, great. I'm sure the person does focus on their ability, or they wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. So it's okay to say the D word. It's okay to say disabled. And so I want people to know that.
Brendan, do you have any thoughts?
No, just in terms of, living day-to-day life, and a good example of that, I had a friend of mine, Megan, I mentioned to you off air that I spent many, many years doing a job very similar to yours, and it involved a lot of running around and being places and having to go places and being everywhere where you needed to be 5 minutes beforehand. And I had one a friend of mine who I knew, obviously, because we had the same type of job. And she says, I don't know how you do it. And I said, well, what are you talking about? So, you run around and you do as much as we do, and you get around as quickly as we do. I said, well, yeah. And I didn't take offense to it, but I said, well, that's because I have a job and that's what I have to do. And I never really thought much more about it. But hearing this particular caller, I guess it does, kind of take you back a little bit. But I guess I've just been so used to my quote unquote disability for 39 years that I've been alive that, it's become a part of me. It's what I know. It's all I know. So really there is no, I guess, hindrance for me. But I can understand the frustrations. It's certainly somebody saying that to you in public. If you've never met the person or never seen them, I could see why that would be, why you would be taken aback by that.
Mm-hmm. Erica, thank you so much for calling in. And if you can stay on the line, my colleague Kat behind the glass can get your name and contact information if you'd like to join us for a future conversation.
Sure, thank you.
Sure, okay. Thanks so much, Erica. Next on the phone is Sam in Rochester. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It would have been strange, or look at what the world would have missed out on if Ludwig van Beethoven would have just given up. Because he was not born deaf, but he became deaf, after a while. And even with that, he didn't let that discourage him from the thing that he wanted to do, and that was write music. And look at all the classical music that we got from a guy who can't hear the music that he wrote, but he can feel the vibration from it. And then me, myself, in 1968, I went through the Vietnam era, being in the Army, came to Rochester, and we used to be a long distance runner. And then in 2010, something hit my body, and I don't know what it was. I went to bed one night and woke up the next day and couldn't walk by myself. And it's good to have a good support system when you find yourself in that kind of condition. Because I had God, then I had my church members, and I had a really loving and caring wife who helped me through that process. And, and I just kept getting up every day and kept working hard and kept going forward. And now the only residual that I have from that disability experience is one of my hands. I can't get it to move or hold nothing like that, but I've just come a long way with you. And a good support system is really, really necessary, and a good support system really helps you to get from one day to the next day, especially when you got somebody who's doing it out of love and they really care for you.
Thank you so much, Sam. I'll let our panel respond to that.
I think that's a great example of kind of what I just reiterated in terms of getting up every day and doing what I need to do in order to get through day-to-day life. You put one pant leg on that like anybody else, and it's really just the opportunity to be out there and get out there and do the things. And as your caller indicated, it starts, I think, with a support system. And I've been very, very lucky to have that, a mom and dad who gave me all the opportunities that, every kid has been able to have, whether it's playing in a little league baseball game with quote unquote normal kids. And I don't like using that term, but, again, having those opportunities as a kid, being able to grow up and go away to college and having those opportunities like everybody else has the opportunity to do. And, had it not been for that, I honestly think I wouldn't be here today. It all kind of starts from when you're young and going through the opportunities that I had through high school and college and to getting to where I am today.
Bob, I know we have to let you go in a few minutes. I just wanted to talk a little more about the work you're doing in Palmyra, Macedon. Some of the statistics that Dresden sent over in preparation for the show, really just, you're doing fantastic work, and I think our listeners should know about some of the programming you have. If you have a couple minutes to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Thank you to Dresden, and thank you for making note of that. I think that as a school district, you know, we've tried to think about our mission for all kids, and this idea of inclusion, I think, has been sometimes misinterpreted or defined in the wrong way, to think that all kids should be in the same setting getting similar things. And really, there's just a broad range of opportunities and strategies that a school district can use. And really, it's about connections and relationships that need to be developed. And with that idea of forging great relationships as partners with parents to create opportunities with kids, that's what our mission is about. And within that context, we've been able to really take a look at the opportunities we have for all kids and expand programming so that students who have some special needs because of an emotional disability that they may have, or students have differing learning needs because of cognitive differences or their abilities. You know, we try to design programs that will meet kids who they are as individuals. And we've been able to do that with great success. And partnering with that is our therapy dog program. So we have dogs in all of the schools who are really here for everybody to sense that idea of someone just may be in need for some reason. And even a dog can provide that support, that ability to not put people in a judgmental situation and really keep focused on relationships.
Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And we'd love to have you back for a future conversation.
Great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Turning back to the phones now, it looks like next up is Darren in Rochester. Hi, Darren.
Hi. First, I wanted to say a shout-out to Mr. Ike. He was my, actually, seventh-grade social studies teacher at Romulus Central School, and I can tell you that if his work is anything like he was as a teacher, now that he's a superintendent, I can tell you he's a kind and dedicated man. So first, I want to keep praise onto him. And second of all, I just wanted to speak towards the idea of presuming competence, and I think that there's a lot of the negativity that comes with, you know, treatment of disabled people in the community comes from just a lack of presuming competence. And I must admit that I lift a lot of my thinking from this, from an article of the same name by Doug Bicklin and Jamie Burke, and just, you know, which is just a conversation between the two of them where they talk about, you know, how they just want to be treated like everyone else, and they don't have any diminished potential in contrast to anyone else. It's just, you know, they just want to be normal and like treated normal and just be included.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm glad that you brought up that idea of presuming competence, because that is one of the reasons. It's one of the difficulties when you do have populations that are separated on a regular basis, that when you come into contact with them, you don't necessarily assume that they're capable of the things that they are capable of because they've been separated, they've been othered. And so for a really long time, if you spend your entire school career, your entire work career, not with people with differing abilities, I think, as the callers have all expressed, you know, we're all individuals, but you don't necessarily assume that they are competent individuals because you just haven't ever seen that happen. So you just presume that they haven't been competent, and that's why they weren't with you. And I think that's why the work of inclusion is so important, is that it allows for us to show everyone that we're all capable of lots of things, because unless you have that experience, you don't have that thought. You have to challenge that.
Nice.
How do you think inclusion has improved over the last 5, 10, 20 years?
Ugh. I mean, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be the only one talking. Does someone else want to tackle that one?
I've only lived in this world 10 years, so please.
So, I started my teaching career too many more years ago than I'd like to admit, teaching in an inclusive environment. And even then, it was leaps and bounds beyond where I went to high school, where we were tracked and people were on a different bus. And we used the name of a program as a derogatory term in New York State for children. It's changed a great deal. I mean, our program is bringing kids onto college campuses, and I have kids with intellectual disabilities sitting in on higher level nursing courses at Nazareth because they're capable of doing the work. And so, it's a huge change in what we've seen, but it's hard work. I know, Dresden, you've probably worked really hard to have your daughter included in school. My son, who's in sixth grade, we pushed our school district really hard to have him fully included. It was hard work to do, and he's 11. So
there's no manual for the parents when you get a diagnosis. So you have to be their advocate. A lot of it sounds cliche, but when you suddenly now are a parent of a child with a disability, you just have to, get ready for the ride, put the seatbelts on. It's going to be bumpy, but you have to advocate all the way for them. And then you come across the current administration and teachers at my daughter's school right now, where you just hit that sweet spot where they all get it, and it's fantastic. But when they went to the inclusion program 3 years ago at my daughter's school, I did have a parent call me to say, oh no, my daughter's in with the special ed kids. She called me, not the district, and said, I don't want her to be in there with them. She was saying that to me. Mm-hmm. So now everybody's a front row seat at the school to that it's okay. So if you never integrate and you never do inclusion, everything you just said, you're never going to know everybody's capable.
Right. What was your experience, Brendan?
Well, I think, Dresden, you kind of hit on it in terms of becoming really, an advocate for your own child. I think my parents did that for me at a very young age. And I don't want to say they ever, shielded me or guided me away from a quote-unquote stigmatism or anything like that. I never felt that. I was always enabled to be included in all the activities that any other kid did. Was I in a couple of different classes? Yes. Did I see that as a negative? Absolutely not. And I think, again, it starts at home and being able to find a positive support group that can help you navigate those particular waters. I don't really see any kind of negative connotation to getting a phone call like that. I can imagine could be a little bit jarring, but yeah. But then to be able to she called you, but then to be able to say, hey, this is what my child is going through, I'd be more than happy to give you advice. I think you're a fantastic advocate, and I think in my personal experiences, my parents certainly did that for me as well.
Nice. Turning to a comment on Twitter now from Dr. David Topa, a friend of the show, and he says, I believe that the term inspiration porn applies not only to working with the differently abled, but also with the poor. So many efforts to help the disadvantaged are based upon the idea, you're so fortunate to receive my help, as opposed to, I'll use my strengths to help you, and in doing so, you'll teach me about your strengths and perspectives. All too often, it seems to be a one-way street.
Absolutely. I mean, Dresden and I were talking about it before we came in, and that was one of the things that I'd mentioned to her, that notion that people might work in a soup kitchen and think that gives them insight onto what it's like to be homeless, and it's not the same. It's actually where we were talking about hierarchy, that it's not the same thing at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next up on the phone is Megan in Rochester, and I know there are some concerns about we didn't have more people with disabilities on the show today, and I would like to say we're always seeking to improve the show, and that is something we will definitely consider the next time we do one. And so I will turn the phones over now to Megan in Rochester. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I just wanted to call and first echo the sentiment that the woman who called previously said about the lack of sort of disability representation when discussing disability. And further, I was a bit confused about the woman who said that talking about teachers who get it and things like that, the problem is that teachers might understand a parent's perspective and might be aligned with that. But in my experience, as both a woman with disability, as an activist of people with disabilities, is that our experiences aren't aligned with people who think that they know best for us. And it's important to sort of include us in these conversations that are about us. And so I use a service dog. And just yesterday, actually, I was at the museum here in Rochester at the extra exhibit, and it was amazing. And there were seven staff members of that museum who told me I couldn't have a dog in the museum, and I had to educate them all. There were umpteen members of the public, several children, but the children, you know, you have to educate them. It's not, they're just curious. And one man sort of came up to me and started petting my dog, who was working, who was helping me, and started telling me how great it was to see me out and about, and how I persevere, and it's great. And I'm thinking, I just want to look at really cool prints. Why are you talking to me? Mm-hmm. And it's important to sort of, I don't know, the idea of inspiration porn is one that can't fully be explored without examining our experiences as opposed to the indirect experiences of parents. Mm-hmm. So helping out at a soup kitchen is great, but you don't get it until you're the homeless person. And not that I'm saying disability equals homelessness, but I am saying it's unfortunate. This is such an awesome topic that you guys really could have expanded upon better.
I think you're absolutely right, Megan. Thank you. And I'm sure we'll do another panel like this in the future. And I would, as I told Erica, and I think we had an issue with the phone. So Erica, if you're still listening, feel free to give a call back and we'll take down your contact information. And Megan, the same goes for you as well. If you'd like to stay on the line, Kat can take down your name and phone number. And we'd love to have you as part of a future panel. But while I have you on the phone right now, I mean, what's a big priority for you? If we were to have this conversation again, what would be one of the main issues that you would like to focus on as someone who has a disability?
As someone with a disability, my primary interests are in housing. And I say that, for example, right now, the low-income housing tax credit, which is LIHTC, and the HOME and CDBG, all of these are fundings from the government that are targeted toward low-income communities. And I would specify that there's a difference between low-income and extremely low-income. And extremely low income are people who are typically on SSI, who are disabled, and they don't qualify for so many housing projects and things like that. I would really talk about the lack of affordable housing for people who are really poor, the poorest of the poor. There's a difference between affordable housing for poor people and there's a difference and affordable housing for disabled SSI recipients. That would be my big issue.
Megan, do you think that inspiration porn distracts us from some of these other issues that are really important, accessibility and unemployment? And what would you say, how can we improve that? How can we shift the focus back to what we need to improve? How we can overcome some of these societal challenges that we have?
Well, I try to do it a lot with humor when I see it. And for example, there was a colleague I worked with years and years ago had a picture of, I'm sure you've all seen it if you've been on the internet recently. It's a little kid. He's smiling. He's 4 or 5 or something, and he's an amputee. He's got prosthetic legs on, and he's running, being a kid. And then below that, the caption is, "Your excuses are invalid."
Mm-hmm.
And I took that down. I printed out a picture of Tara Lipinski, who is a figure skater gold medalist who won at 14 or 15 or something. And I put that in the same with the same caption, "Your excuses are invalid." I think it's really ridiculous to make assumptions about anything without having our experience. Like, for example, I'm no figure skater, and I never will be. And I don't know what Tara's upbringing was like. And we don't know what that little boy has access to. Like, for example, those GAMs he had on were probably $25,000. Most people with disabilities don't have access to that. And the fact that he's having fun being a normal little kid is, I don't understand what the idea is. That I think the one thing that people can probably all agree on is that
we don't fully understand one another's experience without having walked in their shoes.
Absolutely.
So why would we make vast generalizations?
Right. Megan, I'm so sorry we're running out of time, but I think you've brought up a lot of really important issues, as have all of our panelists, so we'll definitely be continuing this conversation in future shows. I'd like to thank our guests today, Brendan O'Riordan, Dresden Engel, Cynthia Kerber-Gowan, and earlier Bob Ike for joining us. Thank you all for sharing your perspectives. We'd love to have you back sometime. And thank you for listening. Our second hour is coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us.